What I want to do is I want to go ahead and get into the message. I honestly had another message settled for tonight. I was going to be preaching. But then the Lord started working on me. And I believe there is something that we need to look at and ponder. I might even take this into Sunday morning on October 24th. We will see. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. It's been said that an opinion is something that you hold, but a conviction is something that holds you. When it comes to our convictions that we have found in God's Word, now I'm going to be getting there. Don't despair. We're getting to the book of Acts here in just a little bit. But I have some preliminary to cover that I would like for us to just kind of ponder for a bit. Like I said, I had a message that I had desired to preach, and I will preach it eventually, Lord willing. But, and I tell you what else I got to do. This time of year, in some ways, drives me crazy. In the morning, we turn on the heat. In the afternoon, we turn on the air conditioner. This morning, I was cold. Right now, my coat needs to go off, and I've got the fan on, and we'll just settle with that. But I want to preach a message tonight, just simply entitled, Repent. Repent. We wind up looking at that, and there's a lot of people, some cringe, others debate. But you know, you get into the Word of God, and we have a favorite saying that the Bible interprets itself. And this word, repent, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, the Scripture tells us exactly what this word means. The reason why I believe it's important to look at right now is because with everything that is changing, we have to understand what our, as believers, what our attitude is, not only to this world, but the world to come. Now, we think of the word repent primarily when we're thinking about when the plan of salvation is shared. When we think of sin and the fact that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And we know that the word death in the Bible there, it simply means separation. When man sinned, he separated from God. So the wage or what we earned in that sin, and the Bible says in Adam we all sinned, and therefore in Adam we all died, that we would have done the same thing. And so, the wages of sin is death. But, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, with that in mind, we stop and consider this. In giving the gospel, as we share it with somebody or we ponder it anew ourselves, we realize that sin indeed has cost us. And that when we are confronted with the gospel, our attitude towards sin ought to change. We think of, you know, again, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. If you don't think it's famous, just watch a football game. You're going to see it displayed somewhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There's your eternal death. should not perish, but have everlasting life. So praise God for the everlasting life that is given to us through Christ. But when it comes to sin, we begin to ponder and think about, and if we're studying the scripture, if we're sharing the gospel with someone, we've got to get them to understand the seriousness of sin, what sin has done to us. When you have sin, you have sins. The Bible tells us what sin is. Sin is transgression of the law. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There are other places that we could go, but the fact is, sin is that which has separated us from God. We all understand that, right? We're there. So here we are in living the Christian walk ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, what is our attitude about sin? And oh, by the way, starting from the time that we trusted Christ, what have we done with this attitude? You know, when I was a teenager, there was a time or two I heard somebody preach on being an Achan in the camp. Brother Lance, have you ever preached on that? Never have? You never have? Man, a lot. Oh, well, of course, you know, you're preaching in prisons. You're not preaching in youth groups. You're not I understand. I get that now. But, you know, if you read Joshua chapter 6, remember, Joshua said, now don't touch the accursed thing when you go in to destroy this nation. But there was somebody that did in Joshua 7:1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. He went after, and we're not going to go into the detail of the story. We don't have time for that. And the anger of the Lord, it says, was kindled against the children of Israel. And so there was this saying, okay, if you sin, it affects around you. And so you don't want to be the Achan in the camp. Now, I don't want to be silly about this, but I do kind of want to, ponder this. Can one person in sin, purposely in sin, can one person affect those around them? Absolutely. If it continues and festers, and there may be another person and then another person, can that really affect people around them? You know what the answer is. I know what the answer is. What about a church? Now, the reason why I bring this up, or I believe the Lord would have me bring this up, we have the 2-minute warning coming up, and we have been in the middle of something that has so disrupted. There are people out there that are looking for answers, and quite honestly, there are people in the church that are doing the same thing. There are basics that we need to ponder. We need to consider. It's hard when you realize from the Bible what the wages of sin are. You read book after book, chapter after chapter. You start in Genesis and you go through the story of the children of Israel. And then you read the major prophets and minor prophets. You can't get away from the wages of sin. You get into the Gospels and you see how Christ pointed it out. John the Baptist pointed it out, but then Christ and then the disciples, and then how Christ died for our sin. But then you go into the book of Acts and you recognize how the church went out and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was conviction, but the response to that conviction sometimes was anger and putting to death or persecuting the messenger or messengers. So it's kind of interesting when you consider sin, the wages of it, and the response, what we find in the Bible. But then it's hard when you realize from the Bible the intentions of the deceiver. Folks, I have one enemy. That's all. That's all you have. And he was defeated at the cross 2 millennia ago. All he has right now is his lies. But his lies are making incredible damage all over the world and the church. There are people in the church. I don't want to go into detail. The world laughs at a church when the pastor or another leader in the church falls into sin. That is so hard to hear of. That is so hard. But it hurts us as well, and we cringe, and it rips our heart when we recognize that somebody in leadership, or anybody for that matter, has fallen once again to the lies of the wicked one. You can sin and get away with it. Let me ask you, can you sin and get away with it? No, absolutely not. So when you realize from the Bible the wages of sin, the intentions of the deceiver, but also the insult of sins to the Lord of the church. Here we are, we gather together, and Sunday morning we were together, and Wednesday night we'll pray. Tomorrow night at 6 p.m. we'll be praying for the 2-minute warning and also for the meetings coming up this next Sunday. It's that Lord that paid such a dear price. He has called his local fellowship together, his local fellowship, his people, the called out ones, the ecclesia. And so we come, and here we are. But wait a minute, we are carrying with us, sometimes favorably, sin that Christ died on the cross for. As the Bible says, my friend, these things ought not so to be. How is it that we can come in into the church and get obstinate and say, I'm not going to give this up, when gathering like this or at any time we're together, gathering, we ought to be recognizing the fact that we have claimed the victory that we have in Christ. Truly, we love the fact that what Paul said in Romans 10 is there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've been sharing that with folks. This one young man especially, I'm wanting him so much to hear it. Lord willing, I'll be meeting with him again this Wednesday. Not only that, it's hard when you realize from the Bible the payment for our sin by Christ. All you have to do is read the Gospels again and understand all that Christ went through to pay the penalty for our sin. The climax of it all was not the suffering on the cross. That was terrible. But when we heard Christ cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father turned his back on his Son because he had our sin laid upon him. And then lastly, although we could probably put some other things in here, it's hard when you realize from the Bible the damage sin does to the body of Christ and the testimony of the Lord before the world. Again, I've kind of already alluded to that, but again, you stop and consider. There are churches that have folded, they've closed, et cetera, et cetera. When people just got lackadaisical of their sin. We just covered on Sunday night, we just covered the seven churches in the Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3. And we saw that. We saw people that were suffering, they were hurting, and they were hurting the testimony of the Lord. And because of that, they were suffering. It just, it hurts so much to see, to understand. Now listen, when it comes to this world, Christ, when he preached that famous message there by the Sea of Galilee, very succinctly told us when it comes to what we are to be doing, what his disciples are doing. He was very simple and direct when he said this, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and oh, by the way, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what does that have to do with repentance? Very simple. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, this all around us is not the kingdom of God. This world is not my home. The Bible is plain on that. There's coming an end, like our brother talked about this morning, he alluded to, there's coming an end to this world. There's going to be a time coming very soon when, at least I believe it, when I see everything that's going on, that Antichrist, that man of sin is going to be coming, and the world thinks that he's the answer to it all. We see things spinning just to that direction. Like we've alluded to before, the world is not falling apart, it's falling into place. Christ, when he was here, told his followers, listen, this is what you do. You look up. You seek first the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Listen to the word of God. And let the word of God speak to you. Let the God of the Word speak to you. So, bottom line, we must get serious with turning from sin to Christ. Biblical repentance, as preached by John the Baptist, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and his apostles that he sent out, involved this: a change of mind toward God and sin that results in a change of life. Note, Acts 26, go to verse 15, if you would please. The apostle Paul, in giving his testimony, said this, sharing this, speaking of his time, speaking with the Lord there on the road to Damascus. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart, by faith that is in me. Now, we read that and it's, praise God, this is awesome. This is phenomenal. So he tells King Agrippa, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet or suitable for repentance. Now, let me make a couple of statements. We're going into this to get an understanding what biblical repentance is. I know that our minds can jump to certain ideas or conclusions. And if you've studied this, I understand you're probably waiting at the end where I'm going to get to. But I thought we need to reiterate this, because sometimes we can get lax. This world has a way of mesmerizing us, especially when a good friend of yours gets such a really nice diesel truck and you find yourself driving a CRV. I'm just kidding with you, brother. I'm just kidding with you. But listen, this world can mesmerize. This world can deaden our desire for seeking first the kingdom of God. There are those, when hearing the gospel, they will reject it because they're reading this. What's this thing about repent? Hey, my whole life is in this. I'll never forget. You know how sometimes you've dealt with people and you think, boy, this there's genuine salvation here. But then it's like, wow, wait a minute, what's going on? Many years ago, when I was in construction, there was a young lady, she was 26 years old. There was a young lady that came to our church. She was married, and she professed salvation, and she was doing good. She's coming to Bible study and coming to church. This was in Walnut Creek, and it was going well. And she asked us to pray for her husband that he would be saved. So the church began to pray. It was a church plant. It was a small church at the time, and boy, you know, we had a great time. We'd have 20, 30 people in a service on Sunday morning, and we met in the pastor's living room. That was really something. But we got to praying, and lo and behold, several months later, her husband got saved. And I mean, he got saved. This was a guy that came out of the world, and I mean, there he is, and pow, he is ready to live for Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow, we're rejoicing in this. This is great. This is what his wife has been praying for, and now we're seeing the fruit of this, and this is wonderful. And then something happened. The wife said, wait a minute, what's wrong? My husband's changed. I still want the things of the world. And I'll never forget, there were three of us. I was a young guy at the time. My boss in construction, he was there, and our pastor was there. And we were counseling this couple, or they were doing more. I did a few, but I was observing. But I'll never forget what she said. She said, I am young, and I am going to have a social life. Now, what she meant by social life was this. She was going to continue to go out with the unsaved friends she had before, which, hey, if you get together with unsaved, you know, you share the gospel, eventually they'll probably leave you, but she wanted to not only be with those unsaved friends, she wanted to do what the unsaved friends were doing, and what her unsaved friends were doing was not good. All of a sudden, there was a reversal. She wants the things of this world. I don't know what happened to the family, but it was such a heartbreak to see. When a person is saved, and again, I'll just make this observation right now, and we'll continue in it. When a person is saved, they have already dealt with the wages of sin, right? They've seen this is what sin does. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they turn from their sin to Christ. Now, when you trust Christ, you don't know everything that's written in the Bible. In fact, there are Christians that they've grown old in the Lord without growing up. They don't know some things that are in there. Then there are others, they learn some things, but then they decided to kind of leave it. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 about these things in verses 5 through 7 that you can learn. But then he said, I think it's in verse 8, but he that lacketh these things is blind, hath forgotten he was purged from his old sin. From his sin. He is blind. Anyway, forgotten that he was purged from his sin. That can happen to people that have truly professed Christ, but they haven't grasped just what it means to truly turn completely to Him, to be seeking first the kingdom of God. So, are there people that sin after they're saved? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have sinned since you trusted Christ as Savior? Exactly. But our attitude ought to have changed, and our desire, and that means a desire to turn from that sin and not do that. So, the gospel requires a repentance and defined as a mindset to turn from evil works. Biblical repentance, bottom line, biblical repentance is a change of mind toward God and sin that results in a change of life. You're in Matthew, at least you might be at this time, still in Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that spoken above by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I was talking to Brother Honestreet earlier today. I don't like wearing a tie. I just don't. But I tell you what, I'd rather wear a tie than raiment of camel's hair. That just doesn't sound comfortable. And I'd much rather go to Chick-fil-A than have locusts and wild honey. I'm sorry, you know, praise God he was able to do that. How many of you have ever had locusts? I thought we'd have at least one hand go up. All right, very good. Look at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet again, or suitable for repentance. Now, we're going to wind up going through Scripture and just kind of leave us hanging at times, because there's other Scriptures that I want to go to, but I want us to get a grasp. My desire, remember when I told you, pray for your pastor, and I put this on Facebook, But I believe every pastor that's studying the Word of God ought to have this attitude. Please listen. The messages that he preaches for the foreseeable future weigh heavy on his heart. You know, we're looking about again at the impact of this COVID, of this virus, and everything that is done not only to gatherings, but also to work and all that. And people are discouraged. People can be confused. And we need to get back to a proper perspective. And the best thing to do is to get into the Word of God and say, okay, what am I to be looking at? What am I to be meditating on? What do I need to keep in mind? And there are things that we need to keep in mind. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is the sins that so easily beset us. And by that, I mean this. Whatever it is that you find yourself often stumbling over, like pride or bitterness or discouragement. Hey, these things are easy to fall into. We know that. The idea, the concept of a turning from sin to Christ is bathed all through the Word of God. We need to keep it in mind. Repentance was preached by Jesus Christ, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, there's the word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Luke 15, Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Later on, he said in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Go to Luke 24, if you would, please. Luke chapter 24. I love this story. Boy, this is just great. The two on the road to Emmaus. Here are these guys. They're talking to Christ. They don't recognize who he is. It's like, man, have you not been around what's been going on? And then he said this. Oh, excuse me. Then he came to the disciples. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding like he did on the two to the road to Emmaus, that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that two things, repentance and remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Christ's goal in dealing with men was not merely to lead them in a sinner's prayer, but to bring them to repentance, a change of life that starts with a person being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ and you've trusted him for salvation, things change. Now, some, the change is rapid. There are others. I've mentioned this before. When you don't know what sin is, often you just sail right on in. We support a family, the Flores family. They're dear friends of ours. We have been down there. We've been to their church in Juarez. Here they were when they got saved at Central Baptist down in Pomona. Praise God, got saved, started serving in the Lord, serving in the local church with Pastor Ray Batema. And one day, here they are, They came into church, I think at this time they had, correct me if I'm wrong on this, they had two children and one on the way. And Pastor Bateman came up and said, Are you folks married? And they said, no. They didn't know. Nobody ever taught them what the Bible says about marriage. They got married, boom, took off. They didn't know. But again, like I've shared about Pastor Doug Fisher, by the way, we need to pray for him. He's not doing well. It's been hard to see what's happened to him after he had the same surgery I had. So we're going to be praying here in just a little bit. But just pray for him. But anyway, you know, he started changing. And he started, you know, he went to his pastor. Hey, what's this word mean? Fasting. Pastor explains what it is. Okay, he's going to do it. He's in the Marine Corps. Boom, he's going to do it. And then what's this word? Fornication. What does that mean? And it's explained to him. Okay, you got it. Went home, told the girl that he was living with, you got to move. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, he wants to do the right thing. Repentance was preached by John the Baptist, by Christ. When Christ sent his disciples out, what did they preach? Mark 6:12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Repentance was preached by Peter. Famous verse, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. Repentance was preached by Paul, Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Again, there's a change. Now, I'm not going to continue much longer on this message because I'd like for us to go into prayer. I just want us to go into prayer for a little bit here in just a few moments. But the point is this, just laying the groundwork of the fact that as you go through Scripture, what is expected? Change, not done in the flesh, but because of what takes place in salvation and is empowered by the Spirit. Again, Acts chapter 20 with Paul. He was telling them, this is what I've done and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. This is something we're going to be looking at a little bit more later on. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have tried to put faith and repentance as the very same thing. It is not. So, bottom line, we need to be contemplating just what we ought to do. Here we are. We're in the year 2021. Oftentimes we just think, okay, to be a Christian, what is it that, you know, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do this. What we wind up doing is we wind up getting into just rote stuff, you know, just, okay, this is the habit I need to get into here and there. There is a mindset that needs to change. There's a mindset that the Lord showed us about, the Word of God showed us about, when it comes to salvation. Hey, guess what? The wages of sin is death, but rejoicing, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But also, this, the change that is born of the realization of what sin is, and what Christ has done for us needs to continue in our lives. I know that pretty much all of you would have this attitude that if you fell into sin, it would grieve you. It hurts. It's difficult. We need to keep that turning going. We need to keep it there. I think I'm going to go ahead and stop there because for those of you that are watching, we're going to have a time of prayer here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts as we read your word. Lord, help us to recognize the hurt, the destruction, the suffering that sin can bring. And to remember that we've been set free from sin if we've trusted Christ as Savior. And even though we might sin, we can immediately pick things up, confess our sin, and continue following you. Lord, these days ahead are so very important. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that we would not take sin lightly in our lives. I pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Hold on just a sec. By the way, we've got a couple of visitors over here. It's good to have you here. Let me explain what we're going to do. We have some special meetings that are coming up starting next Sunday. And by the way, we hope you can come back. And then we have a men's meeting coming up. But I wanted to take the time because I believe we need the prayer and you know we need it. One of the things that we do is, you know, we pray going through a list when it comes to the 2-minute warning. But when it comes to a special meeting, we're praying that God would do a work, do a real work in all of us by God's grace. Am I still on? Oh, I am. Okay. Hello, all you. And that's true, they can. So for you, those of you that are watching online, forgive me, I did not obey Peter. I repented and I moved back. But what I wanted to do was, and I'm going to ask three men to pray, okay? I'm going to ask three men to pray. But I wanted to pray for this reason. God's been putting something on my heart. And I don't know how to describe it. I just don't. Except this. I'm concerned. Look, I went to a leadership conference. There was ton of pastors there. It was a great time. But I was convicted, and I just decided, you know, by God's grace, I want to see God's power in my life. I want to see God's power in our church. I want to see God glorified. How many of you want to see God glorified? Say amen. I don't know your heart. I don't know. Maybe you think you can read mine, but I can tell you this much. I'm so enthralled with our position right now. I mean, it's almost like, well, it's not as much as, you know, being with Christ in Jerusalem and being sent out. But the fact of the matter is we are being sent out by Christ. It's just here in the year 2021. I believe that Satan is busy. Is he busy, brother? We need to pray and ask God to bind the works of the wicked one and to help the people of this local church turn from sin to the Savior on a daily basis. We want to reject sin. We want to live. It isn't in vogue anymore, but it ought to be. We ought to be seeking to live holy lives. We ought to be there, don't you think? Don't you think?